grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 202 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the road this week. I've been on the road many weeks. We've had some great shows, everything from Marlo Wynn Cooper for episode 200. That was an incredible conversation talking about her life growing up with D.B. Cooper, things like that. And then we just had an awesome episode with Richard Spazoff discussing out-of-body experiences and visions of hell that he had. And speaking of visions of hell, tonight we will be talking once again with our amazing guest that we always have on. Dr. John Hall is here with us this evening for the first time ever in person. Welcome.
Alive in the flesh.
I know. I have not seen you in the flesh in years since I grasped your hand the first time almost 6 years ago. And to have you here tonight is great because when I say visions of hell, folks, imagine having sounds go on in your head that you have no idea where they're coming from. Imagine feeling sensations of pain that you've never felt before that come out of nowhere and continue. These are some of the things that happen to targeted individuals, people that have been targeted either by governments, private organizations, whether they are like Dr. John Hall's book, his title says, whether they are guinea pigs of the technologies of control, or they're literally just victims of somebody who is personally harassing them with stuff. Let's break this down a little bit for us, Dr. Hall, for the audience that's new to you. How is it that you first became aware of this kind of microwave technology, sonic technology, and what was it that brought you into the field of helping folks that have been targeted by it?
Well, I'll tell you, 10 years ago, there was not much about this Google. So I had an ex-fiance who came to me who voiced some concerns that she was being followed everywhere she goes and hearing voices and being attacked by something she couldn't see. Skin was burning, things like that. And she came to me because she knew better than to go to her family doctor. Because some of it was stalking, obviously, and some of it was medical. Yeah. She wasn't sure if the two were intertwined or not. So she came to me, and I said, you know what? That sounds like satellite, what we used to call satellite surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I even ran her story by a former FBI guy in San Antonio that works as a PI, a private investigator. And he said, is she under any government problems or any under any government surveillance? Has she had any federal crime
issues? Been labeled a dissident.
Yeah, dissident. And I said, no, that she shows apartments for a living and is pretty much apolitical.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, that sounds like satellite surveillance, and that's the kind of stuff that happens via satellite weaponry. So basically spent a lot of money, actually counter-surveilled her, found out that she was being stalked by a former FBI guy who has access to this technology, was breaking into her apartment, drugging her with Rohypnol, and essentially sexually trafficking her. And that's what my first book was about. It was called A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. And when I wrote that book, thinking, man, this is just basically to expose a local crime, because police didn't believe her. I mean, they believed me enough to actually investigate it, did determine that yes, there was some impropriety going on. They didn't necessarily believe the electromagnetic aspect
of it. Yeah, but there was definitely unauthorized access to her home,
and sexual assault.
Okay.
You know, and exact words, they said, the guy that's doing this is former FBI. Stalking is what he does for a living. The stalking laws in Texas at that time were not what they are now. And he said, you know, about the best you can go for is trespassing on him. She was drugged with Rohypnol, doesn't have any recall of the assaults. So I thought, best thing to do is at least write a book and expose it. Well, when this book came out, I was inundated with calls and emails from other people going through the same thing. So that's when I called in some favors from some former CIA and FBI friends of mine, found out about the technology, what the extent of the technology was. The exact words one of my active CIA friends told me, he said, this is a classified technology used for use in other countries, not in this country.
Yeah, foreign theaters.
Yeah, foreign theaters. Well, and it turns out that it looks like it's being used experimentally. It was put in the hands of various private investigative groups, mostly manned or headed up by people with classified
dossiers
or, yeah, you know, or basically have clearances where they, yeah, can access the technology. And they are allowed to use this carte blanche on whoever they want to use it on for whatever reason they want to use it on, as long as the data goes back to the appropriate agencies,
sure,
on the research. Yeah. So that's why when you see these people that are complaining about targeting, they vary through ethnicity, they vary through religion, they vary through gender. It's males, it's females, it's blacks, it's whites, it's Hispanics, you know, it's gay people, it's straight people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because in the end, they want a mixed bag, you know, what looks like a random sample,
yeah,
of experimentation, because the only thing that can come out of this, eventually it'll be used to control all of us, and which is one of the things we're going to talk about today.
Or at the very least, like LIDAR, things like that, a form of mass crowd control, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's interesting that you say that they're loading the data, because of course you would load the data. You would want to make it seem as random a sampling as possible, the way you would want any medical, yeah, study to be technical.
Because there are going to be some people that are somewhat resistant to it, some,
sure,
people it doesn't work on at all, some people it makes them crazy within 24,
yeah,
hours, some people it takes, you know, a month or years to break them down.
Yeah.
But as we had talked, you know, we were talking before we went on the air, and like I told you, people ask me, they go, well, you can hire GIs, or they're already government property, you can do the experimentation on them. Well, if I'm experimenting with a technology that puts voices in your head, and my goal is to find out how quickly I can bring you to rock bottom with it, well, that won't work
in, yeah,
with informed consent.
That's right.
Because the minute I beam it at you, you're going to go, okay, yeah, I hear you in my head now.
Yeah, you're
going to... And you're going to ignore it, and you know it's synthetic,
yeah,
technology.
Placebo effect will, yeah, immediately,
yeah,
take place.
Now, if I use it on you when you're with your kid out at the park,
yeah,
and you don't know I'm doing it, and all of a sudden there's a voice in your head going, we're going to kill your kid.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that gets your attention, and that's going to get you to act on that.
Yeah, you'll never see Julie again.
Yeah, and then you're going to run to your doctor and tell him you're hearing voices. He's going to refer you to a psychiatrist. You're going to do what every targeted individual does. You're going to Google it all night long for nights before you go to see the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You're going to put a copy of my book down, a copy of Robert Duncan's book down, and you're going to go, this is what I'm being targeted with. And they're going to diagnose you as delusional anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because that's their part in the whole scheme. You know, they're not going to look at what you research. They're not going to look at how many other people are making these complaints. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, I'm a psychiatrist, and if you're hearing voices until proven otherwise, that's delusional or schizophrenic.
Yeah, yeah, here's some lithium.
And then that actually spirals your life the rest of the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite what we say in America, everybody's, oh, we have a kinder, friendlier machine gun hand when it comes to mental illness. We don't.
No.
You know, and I remember 10 years ago, there were commercials out with all these stars and Glenn Close and everybody, you know, wearing their shirts on that had the different mental illnesses on them. And
yeah,
we were going to just encompass this as something that can be treated and,
yeah,
you don't have to be afraid of it. Well, guess what? That's not true.
Yeah.
The minute you're diagnosed as delusional or schizophrenic, your family starts to turn on you. They don't see you the same. You know, your coworkers don't see you the same.
Yeah.
And, of course, it doesn't help that you're going around trying to convince everybody of what's really going on with you. It makes you fit that picture.
And I know many people that are bipolar. That normally doesn't settle in until your early 20s, something like that, as your brain actually, the plasticity starts to fix. You know, that's when you can really tell whether bipolar is set in or not. Like, psychologically, until those neurons and stuff in your brain are gelled, in your early 20s, you know, hey, kids, you know, I'm not going to say don't smoke reefer. I'm just going to say don't do it till your, like, brain,
yeah,
stops growing, okay? Same thing with drinking. I'd prefer you not do it till your brain stops growing.
Which is why they won't rent you a car when you're, some places it's less than 25.
That's right.
Because at 25 is when your brain matures and you are less of a risk behind the wheel of a rental car.
Your impulsive nature should be gone by then, in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, that does not discount the adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
The person that loves bungee jumping, things like that, where most people a psychological barrier would stop you. The sense of self-preservation would say no.
Except in Texas, where cow tipping really never gets old.
No, you know, no, that's just never old. That's always fun. And that's one of the most dangerous sports, because that's when you get to dodge shotguns.
Yeah.
But, oh, by the way, everybody, also with us this evening is John Butler, audio engineer. We'll also be having Robinson Tran, audio engineer, join us. And they'll get into the conversation later, because part of what we're going to be talking about tonight with this is, of course, the rollout of 5G that is currently happening across the country right now. And some of the possible dangers involved with 5G technology, just period. Like, one of the documents that I actually put into the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault, go to dudesandbeer.com/knowledge. You can go down to scientific studies, and there you will find the documentation from the actual FCC, from their study on 5G. Where it showed that microwave technology, millimeter microwave radiation can cause glaucoma, all kinds of stuff. Like, the EU just put out an announcement today that they will be dropping all body scanners at airports for health reasons. So that's something that some of us have been saying for years. I kind of submit to it simply because I'm traveling for business, not for whenever I traveled for personal reason. Man, they're lucky I didn't take a little blue pill from the gas station an hour before and just be like, nope, I need a pat down. And you can ask my wife sometimes. I used to do it all the time. I refused, and I would get patted down.
Well, and I think we talked about the rollout of 5G a number of shows ago, before really anybody else was talking about it. And I remember telling you, you know, this 5G is coming out. You need to look into that, because that's satellite on Earth.
It is.
You know, that's what it is. I mean, it's no, because most of this has been done via satellite. I know some people thought Gwin Towers, and that unfortunately was a misnomer put out there by Jesse Ventura on conspiracy theory. You know, when he, you know, they did a little show on targeting. I was part of the production on that. I wasn't part of the final ending on it, unfortunately, when they decided, oh, it's, we're blaming it on Gwin Towers. You know, it's not, it wasn't Gwin Towers. It's always been satellite based. But when you start talking about 5G, that's total immersion into into electromagnetics here on Earth, because that has to be done with towers like every 20 or 30 feet or less.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that the towers are going to be half the distance from the ground.
The wavelengths.
The normal. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the wavelengths are smaller, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's millimeter wave technology.
Same thing that you get scanned with at the airport.
That's right. And
which is, you think about that, we're about to be immersed in the same thing they scan you with at the airport.
That's right.
They can see through your body and see you naked and see if you have a gun or a
weapon. Now, not with definition, but you can definitely see overall.
So what do you? How do you think that will play into tracking an individual once you're basically immersed in the matrix?
Not just that, but how does it play into your individual rights as you generally walk down the street? It's one thing if you personally submit and say, yes, I don't want a pat down, I don't want to go through the metal detector, I'll speed up the process and go into your scanner. You aren't making that conscious decision when you're walking out of your home in the morning or walking into the office. But if these generators and receivers
are
out
there... They're not going to ask.
No, there is no asking. They're just going to be scanning everybody en masse at the same time.
And you'll be easy to scan once 5G is rolled out, because everything that's on you has an RFID in it.
That's right.
You know, your glasses have one, your shirt has one, your sneakers have one. You know,
they all have one for inventory purposes. Yeah.
So for everything that's on you that's been inventoried with an RFID, you're basically tracking yourself, or somebody will be tracking you via any one of those, or your fixtures in your teeth.
Yeah, you can absolutely do it with a filling. I remember one of my favorite stories ever was the fact that Lucille Ball heard voices in her head from her fillings.
Yeah.
And that's she picked up radio signals.
And that's because,
some
of the old amalgam fillings, you could pick up AM radio.
Well, and it's interesting, though, because...
Same way a crystal radio picks up.
Well, in the same way that, actually, braces work. And it was actually the father of Alex Jones who told me that, because he's a dentist. And I was like, he was like, well, you know how braces work, right? And I was like, no. And everybody's like, oh, God. And I just turned around and I was like, how do braces work? Like, I know they tighten them down. Like, does it, like, pull it this way? He's like, no. When they tighten it down, they're basically winding more wire on one side, and the saliva in your mouth acts as a voltaic fluid.
Kind of like putting two dissimilar metals in a lemon to create a battery.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically you are conducting more electricity to that side of your mouth, which causes the teeth to grow bigger, so they move the others over. Hmm. It's like the most amazing process ever. I was like, wow, who, like, I knew that your spit was somewhat like voltaic, but you know, an electrolyte, but it was like, dang, that's crazy.
No, the whole body's electric. We're a bioelectric being.
Yeah.
You know, and the government has learned how to take advantage of that. I mean, that's how they can actually program your mind through heterodyne and the EEG. That's how they're going to basically track us all through 5G. You're right. The studies that have been shown where they have exposed animals to 5G for long periods of time, it causes premature aging, it causes cataracts, it causes sterility, it causes increased level of, or an accelerated level of coronary artery disease in rats.
Yeah.
Well, coronary artery disease is one of the leading killers, you know, in America, especially men now. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to be all basically bathed in this. You know, at least until you can get in a structure. You know, that is the one saving grace with 5G, is it doesn't have much penetration.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's pretty shallow as far as being able to get through cinder block, concrete, rebar inside of buildings, things like that. Go ahead, John. You were going to say
I think that's why they're calling it the Chris Jordan wave, you know, too, because it's, you know, got, you know, lack of penetration.
So. Yeah. Oh, cold as ice. But it's... It's one of those, you were mentioning earlier the heterodyning of the EEG. I'd like you to explain some of that to our audience that isn't familiar. I know the last time you were on, we had a very long discussion about binaural beats, the brain syncopation method that utilizes. Exactly what is heterodyning in EEG?
I'll tell you, probably the best way to describe it is Malik came out with a patent in the 70s. And the patent was a way to monitor pilots when they were on, you know, these 36-hour and 48-hour sorties during war to make sure that they didn't fall asleep or get delusional or hallucinate. I don't know if the general public knows this, but these pilots, when they fly these sorties during wartime and they're basically in a plane just doing one sortie after another for 36 to 48 hours, they put them on amphetamines to keep them up to do that. Amphetamines.
It's where meth came from.
Yeah. Amphetamines tend to give you delusions and hallucinations, you know, after you've been up for a long period of time on them. So they wanted a way to monitor the brains of the pilots. So they figured out that if you shoot two frequencies into the brain, that one hemisphere will absorb one frequency and entrain it. The other hemisphere will entrain the other dissimilar frequency, and that the two hemispheres will compete and spit out a interference frequency. Well, they could take that interference frequency and actually derive your baseline EEG out of it. And they could monitor that EEG. Wow. And when they saw the pilot was dreaming or they saw that he was hallucinating or seeing things, then they would have stimulators in the jacket. They could zap that pilot and basically wake him out of that state to continue the flight.
Wow.
Well, fast forward, you know, 20 or 30 years, and they decide, well, you know, that's pretty interesting technology that we can monitor the EEG without putting leads on the electrode. So if you take that EEG, if you stimulate the brain that way, you derive the EEG from the brain that way, you have a catalog of basically EEG waveforms, one that corresponds to depression, one that corresponds to running amok with a gun and being destructive, anger, you know, melancholy, and you take that waveform and you beam that back to that human being, they will entrain that heterodyned or changed waveform. Their brain will start cycling in that waveform, and then they will demonstrate that desired emotion, you know, or symptom. Because the brain ultimately controls everything.
Yeah.
Controls your sensation in your hands. If you want to make someone feel like there's bugs crawling on them,
so
you
is
put
there
that
documented
waveform.
Documented structures of for each one of those things.
Oh yeah.
So interesting.
So that's what entrainment is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you take the baseline EEG, you heterodyne it or change it to want that symptom or to get that symptom you desire in the victim. And then you beam it back in their head. And once they entrain it, you get that.
Yeah.
So then you can cause a mass of people or an individual to be depressed. And one of the things I tell at some of my speaking engagements, that have you ever had one of those days where you wake up and you're just not 100%, it's a blah day, you really don't feel like going to work, you're not depressed, but you don't just don't feel like doing anything?
Yeah, well, just unmotivated.
Yeah, well, have you ever noticed when you get to work, everybody feels that way that day? You know, maybe everybody is being controlled to feel that way that day.
Yeah.
You know, because you, when you talk to your friends, you go, man, I don't feel like being here, I don't feel like doing anything. 9 times out of 10, they're going to go, you know what, you're right, I feel the same way. Maybe it's a virus, maybe it's our allergies, maybe we're coming down with something, or maybe you're being fucked.
Yeah. Well, and I was just about to say, it's interesting that you mention allergies, because that's literally the only way you develop allergies, is through overexposure. And it almost works the same way, where like, once you're exposed to pollen enough, your body just goes, enough pollen, dude. It could take a year and a half of your life. It could take 60 and a half years of your life.
It's like peanuts.
Yeah.
All humans are allergic to peanut protein. It's just the right amount has to get in you to make you symptomatic. So, I mean, like eating a bag of peanuts may not cause you a problem. Eating a pound of peanuts probably will.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's very much the same thing. Your brain reacts in the same way. It may not, like we were saying before the show, you may not be someone who is hypnotizable. There are definitely brains that are more resistant to this technology than the average brain. There are definitely some people who are just like more adept at meditation and finding quiet, and that noise in their head just doesn't bother them as much.
Now, in addition to the controlling effects of targeting, though, there's also the voices.
Yes.
And that's one of the other things that target individuals complain about, is that while they're being targeted and, of course, being burned or being brain manipulated with the technology, typically they're hearing the voices of the people doing it at the same time, telling them they're doing it. So to be clear, what targeted individuals hear are not voices of God or voices of angels.
Or their own internal voice.
And I mentioned that in my first book.
Yeah.
When you're reading a book, you're hearing your own internal voice as you read the sentences.
Thank God mine sounds like more than free.
Now, what typically these people, you know, complain about is it's somebody that's telling them exactly where they are in the room. They're telling them what they're wearing. You know, they're saying, well, you know, you think you look pretty cool in that blue shirt
that
today.
That sure is a pretty pink bra you're wearing today.
Yeah. So, I mean, they make it very well known that it's surveillance. So, naturally, the first thing people do is they check their home for cameras and microphones. Yeah. And, of course, they don't find any cameras or microphones because it's all done via satellite and it's not that low tech. Now, there may be low tech devices in their home if they're doing it for sexual assault, or if they're trying to get sexual video to put online or something, but usually that's not. And they do it that way intentionally, because that way when the victim starts tearing into their walls to look for the cameras and look for the microphones, well, that goes along with the eventual goal, which is to sit you in front of a psychiatrist and be
diagnosed. And say, you're a crazy person right now.
Yeah, and I tell a lot of the victims that contact me,
Opening that beer.
They'll say, I know there's something in the house. I'm tearing into my walls to find the hidden cameras. And I'm like, don't tear into your walls. Yeah. There's nothing
there. That's going to be really expensive.
And just to be clear, we're not saying that everyone with some kind of disorder, that it's not always that,
not.
Right?
That would be like saying that
it's a large...
That would be like saying that the true cases of possession...
There's true people that have, you know, dementia.
Absolutely.
Or not dementia, but, you know...
Like schizophrenia.
That's what I was saying earlier. I know people that have been diagnosed schizophrenic. I know people that have been diagnosed bipolar.
Yeah,
they are perfectly functional members of society.
And that's one thing I'm always clear about in most of my interviews. They'll say, well, how do you tell the difference? Well, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, because schizophrenia does exist, psychosis and delusional disorder does exist. But most of the true victims that I've met with, they can pinpoint the day the stalking started. They usually have very good evidence of their stalking. Because sometimes these people leave notes.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching you, and they, you know, they disturb stuff in the house. They've got legitimate breaking and entering police reports where stuff has been gone through in their homes. So, and they can pinpoint the day that it happened. And almost all these victims are in their 40s. So it's kind of well beyond when you would typically diagnose schizophrenia.
Exactly. You know, so if it's going to emerge, it's going to be in your early 20s, maybe early 30s.
And I'll tell you
even
what,
that's pushing.
Most of these victims are educated and were highly functioning before this all took them down to rock bottom. So, and then when you add in the fact that now all of a sudden we've got a bunch of government employees complaining of the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're actually complaining of it continuing to happen now that they're back in the States.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you were saying earlier that the victims from Canada have gotten zero help from their government. But not that our people have gotten any help from their government, but Canada is much more open-minded about this kind of stuff. Like, it was Paul Hellyer long ago, the former prime minister, or not prime minister, but he was the head of their defense, head of their defense department, that came out and said, yes, the Canadian government has been, like, in contact with UFOs and aliens for years.
Well, the Canadians have also allowed their country to be the scientific background and laboratory for the CIA for a number of years.
Oh, for a long, long
McGill
time.
McGill University, Laurentian, they were doing a lot of MK Ultra, most of it was done
in McGill. Yeah, a lot of it was done just north of Niagara, stuff
and
like that.
Now, they did finally make amends, and they did allow some of those victims to sue and get get settlements with the CIA, but the Canadians have allowed their citizens to be victimized by the U.S.
And folks, if you've never seen the Netflix documentary Wormwood, good God, go watch it. It is probably one of the best layouts of the program of MKUltra ever. One of our viral images that we put out, it's actually here in the promo post, and it'll be in the post as well for the episode whenever it releases Wednesday. But after your last episode, I put a quote from you on there and put an image of Dear Alex being mesmerized by the Ludovico process in A Clockwork Orange, one of my favorite movies ever. And literally the quote is, there is no law that prevents the U.S. government from experimenting on citizens. And it's shameful, but that's an absolute truth. And that's what allowed things like the Tuskegee experiments to happen. It's what allows, especially whenever you join the military and sign that contract. It's what allows, if you remember, whenever the second Gulf War happened, it came out that we were giving people like all kinds of experimental anthrax vaccines and stuff like that. And all kinds of soldiers got sick. And like that was major release news when it happened.
Well, and the interesting thing with these Cuban diplomats and the one girl that came over from the American embassy in China, her mother came out. All of these victims have gag orders on them. They're not allowed to speak to the press or the media or us or me.
And believe me, I've tried. I tracked down the lady's mother. I contacted her. We became LinkedIn connections, all kinds of stuff. She will not talk.
Well, after she had that one story, I imagine she got a gag order slapped on her as well.
Yeah.
And I know there's a victim in Houston that has reached out to me through other channels that also has a gag order on her.
Well,
but the interesting thing is, so these people complain of the exact same thing that the targeted individual people complain of.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. Because I have gotten that much out of them that it wasn't the sound of crickets. It wasn't a buzzing sound. They were hearing voices. They were being zapped with weapons they couldn't see. They were being disoriented, losing their memory, and being sleep deprived. Those are all the same symptoms that the targeted
individual
people.
Nausea, strange sensations in their body.
Exactly.
Kinds of stuff.
Well, the interesting thing is what has leaked out, well, of course, that they've got white tract damage and cochlear damage that they found on MRIs at UPenn and some of the other places that are doing the research with them.
Yeah, where their cilia and part of their cochlea is actually dead.
Yeah.
Things like that.
But the interesting thing is that all of these victims said that it didn't stop when they came back to the United States. That they're still being stalked. There's people sitting outside their homes, and that they're still hearing that and feeling those same symptoms now that they're back. Well, they're still really trying to point the finger at Russia. And I told you on our first show, and and I was on some other syndicated shows, where the minute they said this is sonic, I said, first off, it's not sonic. It's going to turn out to be electromagnetic weapons or microwave-based weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's not Russia.
Yeah.
Russia can tell you how many nails were used to build that embassy. And they've known that since the 40s.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they haven't penetrated that embassy already.
Yeah. I mean, they already have workers cleaning that place up and staff.
More than likely, when it was built with local labor, they had already infiltrated.
But if you've seen the way the intelligence agency turned out against Trump because he's a political outsider.
Sure.
Eventually, and I said this on my Facebook page, and I believe I even said it on your show, that eventually they're going to try to figure out a way to make it look like Trump was in cahoots with the Russians to allow them to attack, you know, the embassy workers.
You did
so,
say
so
that
he could shut down travel to Cuba again, and then they can say, well, you know, see, Trump was in collusion with Russia, and he did it because he wanted to be able to shut down travel to Cuba that Obama worked so hard to get, you know, back.
Yeah, to, you know, release the embargo.
And if you look, what's in the news right now is, you know, they keep on accusing the Trump administration of collusion. Well, collusion in itself is not a crime. You know, you and I going and talking to anybody in Russia, even talking about our political system and how we can get reelected, that is not a crime. Conspiracy is a crime.
Yes.
And conspiracy and high treasons means that you have to do something that actually puts America or American citizens at risk.
Yeah.
And the Cuban embassy will be it.
Yeah. And it's really strange to even see, like we were saying earlier, the utter just story switch that's gone on, where it was the Russians originally. Then it's not the Russians. It's sonic weapons. No, it's not. It's crickets. You know, and then on the tail of all that, I remember texting you the article and going, sweet Jesus, it just happened to people in China.
Yeah.
Like, exact same situation, and to embassy members as well.
So the Russians were attacking us in China, too?
Yeah.
Or is it the Chinese attacking us in China?
Yeah.
Or is it the Venezuelans?
Yeah.
So who is it?
Well, and that's...
Well, then they said, oh, it's the Cuban government. You know, the Cubans can't even get GMC parts for their GMC cars. They're putting Nissan engines out.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think it's the Cubans. You know all those, like, fancy antique cars in Cuba?
Yeah.
They have, like, Chinese and Japanese engines in them because they couldn't get American parts.
I got a dumb question, but so what is, you got to school me on this because I don't know this.
That's all right.
What's the difference in 4G now that we have and the big jump to 5G? What allows it to be able to, I know we're getting different carrier frequencies that are becoming available and all that crap, but. Like, what's the big
3G
difference?
3G and 4G operates from 1 to 4 gigahertz.
Right.
5G operates from 40 to 90.
40 to 90. 40 to
90 gigahertz.
Okay, so it's up there.
So if you think about that millimeter...
It's much more intense in a shorter wavelength.
So it's not
like
3, 4G. Okay, so I just wanted to make
which
sure.
Is
a, and a lot of people
even though it's more
that
intense,
don't know that might
it's got
know
less
that
longevity, which right is why you have to have more repeaters lower to the
smaller,
ground.
It's a smaller wavelength. I'm just curious.
So just to put it in a context where I think everybody can understand, including your listeners, a 90 gigahertz wave is 90 billion waves hitting your skin every second.
Yeah. Imagine being in the ocean, folks.
So you can do
and
a lot
having
more
that nice cool wave that hits you, and you're like, and it kind of lifts you up. Imagine that happening 90 billion times per second. Yeah.
So, like, 90 billion waves per second. At that point, that's not even, you almost don't even measure that as a wave.
Yeah,
that just is.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a standing wave.
Yeah,
as we call it.
Yeah,
in our industry.
Essentially, you're in the ether at that point.
Jeez.
Yeah,
and nobody has a clue what that's going to do to you when you're in it for, you know, 30
that's
years.
At that point, you were looking like Rob was saying earlier today.
Not gamma. Like,
it's just underneath.
Radio.
That's exactly Robinson Tran, another fellow audio engineer, has joined us for the conversation, folks. And that's exactly what he was saying earlier today. He's like, that's like just below gamma wave radiation.
It's
millimeter wave.
Yeah, millimeter microwave. And it's wild.
And nobody's done studies long-term enough to really say what that's going to do.
No, we've done studies for a year and a half, maybe, stuff like that. I mean, we haven't even gotten conclusive studies on what our phones do.
I remember buying cell phones even back in the day, and they would come little, if you read the little booklet, there's a little FCC thing in the back. Mm-hmm. Always was. And it said,
always,
you know,
to use
may,
the earpiece.
May, you know, cause this, that, and the other. Yeah. It had a warning.
Known to certain states or countries.
Yeah, so...
Because research had been done there, but it hadn't been validated.
Right, right.
So we got to mention that the research has
been done. So you're saying with that jump up to there, they have just so much more...
Well, and the problem is that your skin, well, it doesn't have much penetration, so your skin is going to absorb most of that energy. Mm-hmm. And energy does get deposited with it. And what they have found in mice and, you know, rats and non-human testing is it does accelerate coronary artery disease, yep. which is already a problem in humans. It does accelerate aging. It causes glaucoma. It yep. causes cataracts. It causes sterility. Now, like in pregnant females where you have... You know, a fetus that's forming, you know, yeah. you know, in a woman, all of those cells are highly manipulable with, you know, yeah. EMF, you know, or any type of, you know, foreign type of wave or anything. Sure. So, because, you know, that's one of the things we use in science. You know, if you have a tray of bacteria, you can use electronic stimuli to separate bacteria and separate DNA.
Not just that, but amniotic fluid in and of itself has a totally thicker viscosity than normal water. So it will actually carry those waves better.
Yeah.
You know, which is one reason why, like, they typically use ultrasound instead of an X-ray on a baby, you know, because, like, inside right. that amniotic fluid, the right. X-rays aren't going to keep going. They're just going to slow down.
Which kind of makes you wonder why everybody has jumped on this global warming and climate change bandwagon where we want to change the world to avoid climate change. But we're accepting 5G open arms.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
I mean, we're going to bathe in the 5G and it's not going to hurt us as long as I
every molecule you know, in my body.
As long as I can download my show at the speed of light,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
then it's going to be all good. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I get cancer as yeah. long as I can watch my show.
As long as I get my South Park faster and good.
How long have they been testing on it? You know, they're going to roll it out. I just did unnamed wireless carrier show, and they're talking about rolling it out. Yeah. Whatever.
No, there's two carriers rolling it out.
Right. So they're going to roll it out. So obviously they've been testing it for how many years?
Right now, the app.
I'm just curious.
In front of my face, which you can absolutely go to dudesandbeer.com. You can check out the episode promo for this.
Oh hi.
Hey,
how's it going?
Welcome, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Check out the episode promo for this and. Inside of that is actually linked the SpaceX filing for the FCC for their, I think it's 4,500 or 4,400 5G satellites going up into space. Like, as opposed to saying, hey, everybody, we're T-Mobile. We need 4 satellites to cover all this. No, they need 4,400 satellites to make the 5G network work.
That's space trash, man.
No, that's totally space trash.
Yeah.
Not only that, good luck trying to escape the wave at that point. The idea is that, and even stated in SpaceX's goal, is to bring the internet to the whole world, to every yeah. spot in the world.
What happened to good old buried copper or fiber?
Trunk lines?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Serious.
The order and authorization was March 28th, 2018. That they filed with the FCC. So at that point, testing for 5G began.
Interesting.
Now, it's being unleashed with really little to no human testing yeah. or regard to what it's going to do to you, yeah. you know, biologically.
Yeah, now granted, they made the announcement in 2016.
Watch your video, right?
Yeah.
They made the announcement in 2016 that that's what it was going to take. You know, I've got it right here in front of me from techradar.com. SpaceX wants to launch 4,425 satellites to make the world web truly worldwide. And that was November 17th, 2016. So between the time of announcement and the time of them filing for permission with the FCC and going, these are the findings we have, please research it further, use your labs at Bell, whatever, to go through this stuff. It's been 2 years, and yet still from the time that they filed it to now has been less than a year. We have not even gone through a year before they're officially rolling it out.
So in a sense, it even if they're not using it for whatever malicious purposes,
yeah, yeah.
it's still
it's
being
still
pumped through your body
as well.
And it's cell and rhythm disruption yeah. of the normal human
absolutely.
body, which causes all kinds of stuff, cancers and stuff. Like that.
All kinds.
Right?
And
the just, only and the only just saving, being just being totally all the time
inundated.
The only saving grace with it right now is that because it doesn't have any penetration and it doesn't travel very far, it's mostly going to be rolled out in urban settings and it's mostly going to be hotspots. I think there's only a couple of makers that are working on phones that will operate on it right now. So it's mostly going to be used for Wi-Fi access as hotspots. Now, if you're in a rural area or out in the country right now, you're probably pretty safe from it because they're not going to bother to put all the towers way out in the country.
Sure.
You know, but they will eventually.
However, it will not be long, much like we have 4G cell phone repeaters, 3G cell phone repeaters, things like that, where it's like, hey, we've got a 30-floor office building, or like how we go to the Venetian all the time. They have repeaters in the hotel because you're inside of a bowl of a valley, and then you're inside of a 35- or 50-floor hotel. Good luck getting a really good cell phone signal. Yeah. The only way you're going to be able to do that is by having 5G repeaters. The only way you're going to be able to get the good connection Wi-Fi-wise is to have those repeaters inside the building.
So does it?
So when you're talking about, oh, it doesn't have great penetration. Awesome. That means it's not leaving that building.
Exactly. So once they once they pipe it in the building, then you are essentially in a 5G.
You are inside of a 5G cage.
Yeah.
It's like being in there with like
5G.
It's like being in there with 9 billion tigers a second.
And able to distribute that, it has to have a hard line to it, right? Somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, much like your internet connection.
What are they using? What's the already established infrastructure they're using for that?
Like same infrastructure that exists. Yeah.
Or hard copper.
Hard copper.
So
that's just the ultimate point.
Main,
yeah, that's the ultimate point of ping and distribution. Is the 5G.
Now, something that I wonder if you've thought about though. This also kind of this ties into a lot of things, and I mentioned that in Guinea Pigs Technology of Control that eventually they're looking at ways of controlling the masses. Well, this also ties into Agenda 21, because the whole point of Agenda 21, which has now changed names, they don't call it that anymore, but Agenda 21 was geared at forcing rural populations into urban centers for easier control. Well, once you force, not only that, but the way you force the rural population into urban centers is by the government taking over the land where there's natural resources, so it's not under private control.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different political discussion. But,
you mean like the pipelines and things like that?
But
where
once
you go, get out of here, Native people.
Or where the trace minerals are, or where the coal is, or for the natural gas is. Well, once you force everybody into urban centers, well, then that's where the value of 5G really comes in.
Yeah.
Because when you decide we need the electorate to vote this way, the 5G is there, the EEG heterodyning is there. You can literally control the thoughts and feelings of mass groups of people.
Yeah. It's not incredibly difficult.
And it's not sci-fi anymore.
Actually, something that you will find interesting is the artwork on Rob's arm that he recently had done, which is actually like representations of full-on frequencies. It's very interesting. Just show him your artwork there. It's great. It's a little bit hard to describe, but imagine seeing mandalas, stuff like that.
That was a lot of time
explain,
under the gun.
Explain it, Rob.
These are pretty much essentially cymatic glyphs interpreted as mandalas. So I actually have pictures of the cymatic glyphs.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty much instance of both my stepfather, my mother, and my dog talk pretty much recorded on a microphone.
Yeah.
And this guy in London, he has a cymoscope. Essentially, it's like a water base. Mm-hmm. You can do it with sand too, but water you can get like a better depiction off of it. So essentially, I sent him WAV files, and he just sent me he's inundated me with a ton of different glyphs, and then I just chose whatever I thought was
sure. And those are the glyphs based on the sound, the vibrations from their voices.
It's an actual physical representation of the vibration.
It's illustrating, like what they're audiating in their own head. So I didn't have them. I just pretty much said to them, just remember your favorite song and just sing it.
Yeah.
So my mother sang a folk song back in her country. My stepdad sang Frank Sinatra's.
What did your dog sing?
I just
feed me. Yeah. I need more water.
He's just whining. And I just sat in a closet and put a large diaphragm condenser mic, and I just started talking to him.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and then I didn't want to make him uncomfortable because dogs, when you look at them for a while, you know, yeah, they get super uncomfortable. But, you know, he was just, I was just giving normal cues like, hey, this, the situation's cool.
So do you have them on both arms or just the one?
No, it's just the one. On my left side, I'm actually going to go to Japan for that. That's another story altogether. Yeah.
But, and it's interesting, like, the science of cymatics has been around for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, when I say long time people, like he said, they are represented as mandalas. If you go and look at mandalas from Indian culture, stuff like that, the actual symbols and the round symbols from traditional Vedic culture for the chakra points, yep, in your body,
yeah,
are physical representations of that note and that color. There's no difference between what you see and what you hear, everybody. The colors that I'm seeing on Rob's shirt, in Dr. John Hall's shirt, things like that, are simply a vibration. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. Nothing more. It is a Hertz frequency, just like what you hear.
So it's not too much far of a stretch when you say that you control people with,
exactly,
you know, wavelengths.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Tibetan bowls.
Yeah,
have you ever?
Oh, I have five bowls.
Cleansing bowls.
Yeah. I have five of them at home.
Dude, I recorded a guy in Austin that was into these healing bowls.
And yeah,
it was pretty amazing. I have the file somewhere.
Yeah,
and used them.
I myself made an entire chakra album.
Awesome.
Where it was seven tracks that were meant to be played back to back, but at the same time, faded into each other to where if you repeated the track, it played endlessly. So if you wanted to, let's say, expose yourself to more of your mudalara,
yep,
I think I got that wrong.
Shout out to Michael Wolff.
If you wanted to expose yourself to more like your third eye chakra, you would just listen to that track. And like you said, the more you expose yourself to it, the more readily your brain produces the frequency. That's just the science.
And we're about to be exposed to that on a daily
on
basis.
On a daily basis.
90 billion times.
Yeah, 90 billion times a second. Every day.
Yeah, because our sleep state is like, what, 2 hertz or something like that?
Yeah.
4 hertz?
Yeah.
Like long wavelengths.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It's below the hertz rate of the Earth, which is right at between 6 and 8.
So it will be interesting, once we're inundated with 5G, to see what type of sleep disturbances, you know, come out of that, because those people will show up at offices like mine. You know, they're going to,
yeah,
show up with a bunch of vague complaints, fatigue, tiredness, I can't sleep. It's like, we get that already. That's why Ambien and Lunesta and all these drugs are so popular.
Ambien's so scary.
Sleep aids. Because when you start getting bombarded with this, if your brain can't shut down and go,
yeah,
into these long,
yeah,
wave states,
that's right,
then you're basically going to roll around and lay around. And
I was trying to tell somebody the other day how it's, and believe it or not, folks, your brain basically works in 3-hour patterns while you're asleep. So 8 hours is actually kind of mean to do to yourself, because you're waking yourself up like in the middle of a sleep rhythm. Like, you're not completing that pattern of sleep rhythm.
Right.
So if you sleep for either 6 hours or 9, you'd be surprised how actually more rested you feel than 8. Because your brain's had a chance to finish its thought and be like, deep breath. Oh, I woke up.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's a cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You gotta finish the cycle out.
Yeah.
Like, you, great, you got your REM cycle, but you didn't get your circadian rhythm at the end of it.
You say every 3 hours. So you're saying we should sleep for 9 hours.
And 9 hours or 6.
Yeah.
Which is,
or 3.
Which is why people.
Or 3. Or
which
6.
Is why,
yeah,
people like
or
Einstein,
5.
Benjamin Franklin, stuff like that. Slept numerous times during the day. They would go and take like a 30-minute nap, stuff like that, like every 4 or 5 hours.
We do that at work all the time, right?
I know some technicians that do.
But I do find it interesting, though, that you can't get online or watch the news without something coming on about the dangers of climate change.
Yeah.
And how we need electric cars, we need electric homes. If you live close enough to ride your bicycle to work, you should, because the hydrocarbons from the car are destroying the ozone. But this is rolling out, and because it is profitable, because it's going to allow the government to control everyone, and because it allows you quicker down speeds on, you know, your gaming and your TV shows and your cell phones.
Gotta get the YouTube.
That nobody is really questioning
how this is going to hurt us.
And like I said,
I mean, everybody remember Al Gore said by 2014 the polar ice caps were going to melt, the seas were going to raise 3 feet, and which I was kind of.
And then they show that poor starving polar bear. It's the same polar bear from 10 years ago. Yeah. It's like. Yeah, they only have a 12-year lifespan, yo.
Well, and I was all excited because
he's dying.
You know, for those who don't know, I mean, most of you guys are from Austin, and I mean, I was kind of excited because I'm about midway between Austin and San Antonio, and I thought, well, man, if the seas come up 3 feet, I can drive an hour to go fishing rather than three to get to the coast, man. Yeah. I mean, that's gonna be great for me.
It's a smart thing to live inland. That's all.
People forget that all those awesome hills. In Dallas, you can find shark teeth in.
Yeah.
Well, so because that was the ocean during the Permian.
Of course,
that
prediction didn't happen. But now we're saying, well, we got 12 years, according to, AOC is saying we got 12 more years before climate change destroys the Earth. Well, I think we're more likely to be destroyed by 5G than we are climate change.
Yeah.
The climate change science is fuzzy at best. A lot of it's been created. Well, not saying it doesn't happen. No. Climate change does happen.
We absolutely contribute to the cycle. Okay. But right now, the polar ice caps on Mars are melting. I guess that's all of our solar-powered robots. It was just released by NASA that the actual ice rings around Saturn are disappearing and will probably be gone within the next 15 to 20 years. So if it's happening as far out as Saturn, that is something way beyond.
It's
like
about the sun, man.
The rings are made out of chunks of ice. Yeah. Like, that's how we see the colors, is the different refraction. And if those are starting to melt and go away, it ain't us. We're reclassifying solar flares on almost an annual basis. The Earth's magnetic pole just shifted. Like all of 2 months ago, they said that it shifted by about 3 degrees, which happens regularly. And they can actively show in magnetite, things like that, magma formations that are full of iron ore, that kind of thing, which when exposed to high heat become magnetic. And they can literally show within hundreds of thousands of years where the pole of the Earth has literally flipped, where the north poles of those magnetite particles are totally turned the other way because the magnetic pole of the Earth went 180
And to think
degrees.
That our species is going to be here forever is hopeful thinking. And dinosaurs here for millions of years, gone.
But we're here.
Gone
we're here for always.
You know, Mr. Pibb, we're here for 20 years, gone overnight. You know, and the humans will be the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's one of the only colas that didn't have corn syrup in it back in the day.
Yeah. And it's one of those, like, we are pretty young, folks, as far as the scope of the Earth's history. And lifespan, we're like a flake of dandruff.
So you're saying that we're going to die before the sun's going to rage quit in like 20 million years?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're going to die like within your grandchildren's generation.
Yeah.
It's probably about 10,000 years down the road.
I tend to say that.
But we're going to have a real tough time within
the
next 1,500.
Anarchy, full-blown chaos.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying.
Maybe
like,
a little different
nowadays,
story.
I guess in this present time, for us, for listeners, like I always say this to myself, like, before I make a decision on anything, or even on an investment, I think, not in this lifetime, you know? I don't even bother with it. I'm like,
no.
Hey, yeah, not in this lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
There's other
just
things
not
to
worth
do.
The effort
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, exactly. There's other things
not
to do.
Not worth the effort.
And I tell you what, we've seen enough death this year already, my wife and I, that basically it's live every day like it's your last anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, don't worry about a million years.
Don't go out hurting nobody, anybody.
Year.
That is not a call to violence.
You hear?
You have to say that in this day and age,
you know,
folks. That is not an online call to violence.
I've had
don't go out and start making final solutions.
I've had my brush with death. I just lost
day.
A cousin who's 55 years old. She's lost two family members this year.
That means drink like me and John Butler when you're on the road.
It's one of those things where you gotta do whatever you enjoy and live life. And that's the same thing I tell the victims that I talk to. You know what? You really want to defeat this? The way you defeat it is don't sit at home all night long Googling targeted individual and Googling targeting.
Don't
try
rabbit
to,
hole.
Try to live life. Mm-hmm. Don't convince people that aren't going to be convinced. You know, let those of us that are working on it through scientific and political channels work on it.
We all believe different things. We all have different realms of belief and ways, paths that we got to that belief. You cannot discount anybody's belief. You've never seen it, but I actually have a document. I should have brought one for you to sign. that's the rules of Dudes and Beer, the rules of the table of discussion. And it's like, everybody's opinion is valid. Your opinion of 50 cents will buy you a cup of coffee anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good theory.
It's like a dollar.
Like,
about
it's,
a dollar.
Yeah. Closer to a dollar,
unless you're at Starbucks.
Right.
You know. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those.
I
like,
$1.50 at McDonald's.
If you're
going to
say
dude.
Something that will get you in trouble with your wife, your employer, your grandmother, or your kid's teacher, just don't say it, because I'm not going to edit it out.
Yeah. No, thanks for letting us know.
Ain't nobody fucking got time for that. So, you know, you do have to live life. As though there is no tomorrow to an extent, but you also have to think about your impact on things. And, it, you know, it's interesting that you brought that up, because right after the last time you were on, it was within like 3 days. I get some emails to the website, things like that, people asking questions, making comments on episodes. But I had never gotten an email like that gentleman before. And it was really a point of resolve for me just before Christmas and before the new year, where I always kind of think about what to do. And when I got the email from the targeted individual after your last show, where it's like, thank you so much for sharing this information. I've never heard of Dr. John Hall, but this has been happening to me for years. Where can I go to get help? What can I do? And that was one of those like, wow, somebody just reached out to me and my guest for help. Like, I can't go do like the adult soapbox derby after that with this show.
And that's the sad part, is there's not a lot of really good sources to get help for.
Yeah.
Those people kind of suffer in silence. And unfortunately, some of my advice to them too is when you start trying to convince family members that they don't believe you, stop
just
trying.
Stop.
You know,
stop.
Because they're, it's your family members.
They will commit you eventually.
Yeah.
They will commit you or call in a well check.
What would the advice be?
Get online. There are some help sites that you can get on. I mean, you can go to my Facebook page. Just, you know, and especially for any of the listeners out there that know anybody that's going through this or is going through this, don't do anything violent. Because I've had a handful of TIs that I know or knew of that decided that, well, the way I'm going to get media exposure to this is I'm going to go out and do something violent.
And a grand example of that, Aaron Alexis. That is how we first made contact. That is, I reached out to you because I found your book to come on the radio, because he was talking about hearing voices in his head. And he was an active Navy member at the time. On furlough.
Had a clearance.
Had clearances, all kinds of stuff up in Washington.
And he was at the Navy Yard.
Yep.
And
went in with his shotgun with, this is my ELF weapon carved on the friggin' handle of the shoulder rest of the shotgun.
Which, in reality, that was a vengeance shooting because some of the research is done there.
Yep.
But it wasn't a crazy man running amok. It's sad that, I mean, he was killed and innocent individuals were killed. Certainly nobody in the targeted individual community condones that. But him, and there have been others, you know, that have chose to go that route to get exposure. Because they said, well, even bad exposure is exposure, and that just doesn't work.
It's not any press is good press situation, folks. It's really not. That is a life-threatening situation. That is a dangerous situation.
And the media will run with it the same way every time. They're going to run with it as, this was a crazy person who shouldn't have a gun. We need gun control. That is exactly what's going to happen every one of those circumstances. Yeah. So.
And what, you know, it's interesting that we're even saying this, because some of the topics that within a 1 month span of having you on, Kenneth Dudley, my UFO investigator, having a guest on, Byron Berghammer, who does Ibogaine treatments and DMT, things like that, down in Mexico for people with hardcore addiction. Very experimental treatments, but it's been showing some great result. After having him on and talking about the history of LSD and MKUltra, and then literally 3 days before I arrived in Vegas, having somebody on about the Mandalay Bay shooting, I arrived in Vegas, and 2 days later, looked at my LinkedIn profile, which I'm big on LinkedIn, love it, And, you know, you get your little reports like, you appeared in like 71 searches this week. It's like, awesome. Let's see who I appeared in. 30 of them were Department of Defense, and 20 of them were CIA.
Yeah.
They were employees of the Department of Defense and CIA. So I was like, I am obviously making waves somewhere. It may not be 9 billion per second. But I'm making waves somewhere.
So regarding the whole fact, is there a place that people can go, like a forum or like something?
A Reddit thread.
Like an immediate thing, like right now to go to, and there's other people and they can talk and get references? Or is it just kind of like you're on your own just...
One of them is ICAACT, ICAACT.org. Another one is Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. Of course, Guinea Pigs Technology Control, the Facebook page is mine. And there's a lot of, you know, victims that, and there's a lot of Facebook groups, targeted individuals and targeting and that are there where they can share information. Now, sometimes you're sharing information with, you know, people that may be crazy. They may not be targeted or they may be targeted and crazy. And like I said, honestly, and I always get in trouble with the community when I bring this up, but honestly, there are some people that have been targeted to the point of being nuts. And there are some people who are probably nuts and they're targeted. And there's some people who are just nuts and not targeted at all. And there are infiltrators in a lot of those groups that are just there to stir the pot, which is easy to do amongst a group of people that are already, some of them being controlled. But nonetheless, you can get in there and you can glean out some information. And certainly if you get my book, Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, a lot of the information that you're looking for is in there. Or Robert Duncan's book, Soul Catcher, is another.
And just so you know, folks, the books, Guinea Pigs of Technologies of Control, as well as the first book, New Breed Satellite Terrorism, are all available in the Dudes and Beer official store. Go to dudesandbeer.com/store. There are links to the Amazon there. As opposed to a lot of Amazon books, they're actually reasonably priced. I mean, a lot of people self-publish through Amazon, so things get up into the $40 range.
That was at my request. I made sure that these books, and there's an electronic, a Kindle version.
Yes, exactly.
That I made sure that it's no more than $9 to download the electronic book. So I wanted it available to anybody. And it's available in Spanish for anybody that may catch your podcast down in South America.
Bienvenidos.
So for someone that... maybe not have that time frame to, you know, go download a book or this, that, and the other, go to a forum and fish through, you know, this, that, and the other. Is there any kind of immediate, like, reach out?
There
established
are.
Yet?
I am,
y'all know what I'm saying?
I am like, actually like, online right now.
Or, like, somewhere
if,
that
if you
is, like,
are,
really can, like, let me help you out.
If you are a targeted individual, one of the places that you can go is targetedjustice.com. They have an incredible list of organizations here in the United States, from Freedom for Targeted Individuals, PACTS International, Citizens Against Harmful Technology, ICAT, ICAACT, International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies. And we should really contact some of these people and do a joint show with them.
Well, ISA Act is actually, I'm on the board.
Okay.
You know, for that. And that is an organization where we took people and put them, we went to, used experimental Faraday cages and put people up to do the testing. Because, you know, a lot of this initially people were convinced that they were chipped.
Sure.
That it was being done with chips. And in some people it was. You know, we did find chips in some people. The vast majority of people that this is happening to are not chipped. You know, as they think about that logically, it doesn't make sense that they would want to go toward a technology that involves chipping the entire population.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to get caught doing that.
Well, it's gonna be, like I said earlier, you have to have medical consent.
Yeah.
You have to have medical consent. Whereas 5G, they're... You need no consent.
And the RFID,
it's there.
RFID, it's a limited range, but you're saying with that 5G, it's pretty much, since it's going to be stacked
you're
so
always
hard,
in it.
It's like, it's there.
Well, you'd
range
like
is
to.
Not very far.
No, it's
but
not extraordinarily
5G,
far, but with
like,
the fact that there's
all
one
the
here, there's one
have,
3 blocks away,
you're like,
there's
beep,
one
beep,
3 blocks
beep,
away.
Beep, beep,
yeah,
well, so
it's like, I can tell you kind of how
Minority Report.
In most victims, kind of how it goes is they say, well, I'm being followed, I'm hearing voices, I'm being attacked, I must be chipped. So they get scanned, they do full body MRIs, there's no chip, you can find
no foreign object.
So then the next thing they go to is, well, it must be nano. Well, so then they go, okay, well, I'm going to do this testing. They're spraying everything in
there
the atmosphere.
There is some nanotechnology out there, but biological nanotechnology on that level,
it is out there, yeah. But you have to think logically about this, that this has been described. Actually, the first two people I interviewed when I wrote my first book was two prisoners from the Utah prison system in 1980, you know, who were locked
frequently experimented.
Yeah, who were locked in a room, had electromagnetic waves, they said, that were so repressive they couldn't get off of their cots without actually trying to make that happen. And one of the guys said, he goes, they were talking to me in my head, and the voices in my head were responding appropriately to my thoughts that I would reply back. So that's in 1980. There was no nanotechnology in the 80s. You know, so, and if you think about it,
there were nanotech theories.
If this was done with nanotechnology that's being sprayed into the atmosphere, we wouldn't have a couple of 100,000 targeted individuals making complaints. Yeah. We would have entire populations.
You'd have a few 100,000 or a few million people complaining about all the crazies around them.
Yeah.
Is what it would be.
Yeah. So, and you think about it, the government logically is going to use technology that is the least intrusive to use. Now, in MK Ultra, certainly they were chipping people. Even after MK Ultra, there was a guy in Georgia that, you know, he met with an NSA agent. He had invented a way to download free energy to charge batteries. They took him out, they got him drunk, and they chipped him. We dug a Vera chip out of his shoulder that had created melanoma there, because those chips actually are cancer causing.
Wait. Yeah. He made wireless power, essentially, is what you just said?
Yeah.
Electricity.
Yeah. Where is he now?
I think he's still alive. He's in Georgia. Yeah.
And you pulled the chip out of him.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I helped find it. A surgeon in Georgia pulled the chip out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have another guy, James Walbert. You've probably seen that name come up. James is in Kansas. He came to me. We MRI'd him, and he did indeed have a chip in his shoulder. He went on to have some other studies done, and I think was found that he had some nanotechnology in him as well. Mm. But the overall vast majority of victims, you don't need to be chipped for this to happen.
No. No. And that's just it. What a lot of people don't realize, like we were saying earlier, amniotic fluid, great conductor, fantastic conductor of sound waves. Why ultrasound works so incredibly well in that environment. Your brain and the gray matter of your brain, fantastic radio receiver. Not only that, but you've got a great resonant chamber built right around it. And I know we've talked numerous times on the show about the advertising technology that they tested in Iceland. Japan, where you're in Iceland. How often are you going to buy a banana in Iceland or even have them? But here's the technology where whenever you walk by the banana stand at the store, you can hear the ad for the bananas only next to the banana stand.
In Japan, they used it in soda machines.
Yep.
So when you were 10,
they use it in museums all the time soda now. Machines.
Like, so when you're walking,
so when you're, by, when, yeah. you're, when you're when you walk by, it goes on and on. A nice refreshing Coca-Cola sure yeah. would be good.
In your own head.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it uses your head as a resonant chamber.
I got to find his machine.
Well, now, if you saw the latest link I put up on my Facebook page, now they have it refined now where they can pick out individuals and use laser-induced sound directly into your skull as well. And they've always had a system called Audio Spotlight. You're probably familiar with that. It's a little square antenna that uses ultrasonic sound, and you can single people out in a library to just talk to them.
Yep.
You know, it's line of sight, but it works the same way targeted individuals, you know.
That's the exact same technology that they use for ads. It's some of the same technology that they use in museums around the world, where whenever you walk up to the exhibit, you don't have to wear the headphones.
Yeah.
You only hear it right there, and when you walk away, it's gone.
And we have one. I've got an audio spotlight system. It looks like about the size of a ceiling tile in a floated ceiling, and you can hang that over any area. And the only time you're going to hear me saying anything to you is when you're under it.
Yeah.
So if you put it in a room,
with a bunch of other similar looking tiles,
speaker, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an ultrasonic speaker.
It's an ultrasonic. You know,
it's just shooting down a wave.
Or it doesn't vibrate in your skull.
It doesn't convert to sound until it's in your head.
Yeah, gotcha. Until it actively hits your bone and starts. Kind of like the way the jawbone microphone works.
Right, the same thing.
Where it's not working off your mouth, it's working off the vibration of your cochlea.
Right.
And the hammer and
it's not even
your
moving your eardrum. It's going straight to your head.
Straight
it's
to your skull.
Straight, it's neurosensorial hearing.
Yeah.
And same thing we have, like I told you. That I have, if people don't believe in directed energy weapons, you can, I think I told you on this last show, you can actually go on Walmart.com and buy your own directed energy weapon. And it's about this.
Prank your friend.
Yeah, it's about this big. It takes a 9-volt battery, and it shoots out a strong ultrasonic pulse. It's enough to give you headaches and make you nauseated. You can sit it in a room, turn it on. Some people will hear it. Most people won't.
Yep.
But everybody will get nauseated because it resonates at the right frequency to hit your brain and make you nauseated.
That goes back to Hitler.
Yeah.
7 hertz Hitler. Yeah.
Exactly.
As a toy.
Yeah.
You were going into that the other night. Go into that, John.
It's something I heard from a old school cat. Hitler, back in the day, before he would do his speeches, they ran some big servo subs in a stadium wherever he is speaking. And they did, I think it was 7 hertz was the frequency. And, you know, everybody's filling up the stadium. It took an hour or so. And they'd run that.
To rile up the crowd.
No, they run it and it'll physically just
make you uncomfortable.
It'll slowly tighten your stomach and make you feel kind of just odd and discomforted. Not like you're going to go to the bathroom or something. Just kind of, you just feel kind of weird and then, mess with your head a little bit. And then I think it was 15 to 20 minutes before right he came out, they would shut it off. So everyone just kind of started feeling better.
So by the time he came out,
it was a psychological.
You're feeling great now.
And that's some of his engineers doing that shit. Yeah. And those guys.
Yeah. Well, I bought the little Walmart toy. And I thought, you know what? I want to see if this really works. Because, that's the reason I get this stuff. I've got a neurophone at home that we use that you can put the leads anywhere on the body. Put them on your legs and make you hear voices in your head. I've got the audio spotlight. This is all for research purposes. So when I saw that come out, I thought, okay, I've got to test this.
Yeah.
So I bought one and took it to my office. Didn't tell the girls in the office that I was going to fire anything up. Sat it in another room and turned it on. Barely audible. If you get right next to it, you can hear the loud, kind of a very, very, so high-pitched you can barely hear. A dog probably would hear it really good.
Yeah.
So that's essentially what it is, an electronic silent dog whistle kind of thing. Turned it on. Within 10 minutes, just about all of my staff from another room were coming in there going, "What are you doing to us? This is going to drive me crazy. You're driving me crazy. Whatever it is, you need to turn this off. You've got to turn it off. We know it's you because you're into this kind of stuff." All of them were going nuts, and you couldn't hear it.
And you got that from Walmart.
From Walmart.
Yeah.
These things are out there.
I remember seeing, circuits for those online years ago where you could buy kits, all that kind of stuff, where you could go to, Jamco Electronics, where you could buy, your crystal radio kits or, LED police light flashers, and they had the same kind of thing where it was, play with people's heads, that kind of stuff.
Going back to what you were talking about, not to interrupt, but I forget what the actual title of it was, but you were saying, if you want to make a person do this or do this or do this or do
EEG
that.
EEG heterodyne.
Is that written out somewhere? Who did that?
As a matter of fact.
Is that here in the States?
The NSA.
Hold on. NSA did.
I'm just curious,
But let's see. Because I know I have that linked in the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault.
Okay.
I am going there right now. Dudesandbeer.com/knowledge is the webpage, folks. And if you go to scientific documents and studies there, there's a little hot link that'll take you. This has all kind of PDFs, everybody. If you want to see the original patents for HARP, for the facility that exists in, it exists. It's not a conspiracy theory. HARP exists. And the patents are there. They're right here on the scientific documents and studies page.
Sweet.
Imagine that. As are the FCC memorandum and report on the effectiveness and effects of 5G, which we were talking about earlier today.
Awesome.
5G radiation dangers, all that kind of stuff. But here it is, patent for audibly communicating speech using the radio frequency hearing effect is on there. Patented hypnotic inducer.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what you're...
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. And, okay.
And since you mentioned heart, by the way, Nick Begich, very good friend of mine, Dr. Nick Begich, wrote the quintessential book on harp, and it's called Angels Don't Play This Harp. So yeah. If you're interested in that, harp is a... ionospheric heater and an elf wave generator. So
It's and the whole idea was, let's see how far we can take communications by, at least that's the idea. I'm doing air quotes for those of you who can't see through the radio right now.
There is some good.
There's some good research.
Healing.
There.
No, I'm just saying there are some good healing properties of frequencies.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Which,
that's a whole different subject.
And that's what I was. That's what I was getting into with the mandalas, with the whole idea of
cats cymatic. Purring. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cats purring.
Oh yeah.
They're purring. The reason cats purr is to actually it induces healing in their own bodies.
And they've actually shown physical studies with that in burn wards, pumping the same frequency and octaves of that frequency through speakers inaudibly. And shown that people's burns heal like 20 to 30% faster with that frequency.
So I have a quick question about some of this evil or malicious type use of it.
Sure.
There's got to be a cancellation, because for every wave, you can cancel it out.
Yeah, for every sign, there's a cosine.
So that could exist. I mean, I don't know if anyone's thought of it. Like if someone's trying to do something, maybe... invert that or figure out exactly what
you know. We've got a few scientific minds here. How would you invert 9 billion cycles a second?
9 billion
Well, if you find the exact frequency,
that would be the frequency of like point.
You would phase invert it. Call it a day.
One button.
Oh, nine. That would be the frequency of point.
That's just a.
It is the polar opposite. Yeah, question, but. Yeah. Say it how it is.
That's how Knight Rider worked.
That might be a way to battle it in the future or something. No. I don't know.
That's how noise canceling technology works. It's how your Bose airplane headphones work. Yes. Yeah.
And there are sites that are already kind of prepping people on how to avoid 5G exposure.
Right.
And the main way is going to be not to have a router in your home.
Yep.
And have an internet free home.
And I won't lie, for about a year and a half, and I need to reinstitute it. Number one, I practiced Black Sabbath, which was Sundays, like maybe I would watch TV, but there was no internet, there was no cell phone. Unless it was an emergency call, I wasn't picking up the phone. No technology on Sundays. Like, go out, enjoy the world, go for a hike, do something, but don't just sit there. Don't be around all that. And at the same time, I also had a kill switch on my wireless router in the living room that was out and available. The router was like inside a shelf. So I made just a little push button switch that I could go up. And as we went to bed at night, click, just cut it off. And you would be surprised how much better you sleep without all that.
They're actually making shrouds now that you can buy for 5G routers and 5G hotspots, because you are going to have to route that into your home.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to pick it up from outside of a building. You're going to have to route it from outside into your home.
Yeah, because it doesn't have the penetrative power.
Exactly. So you're going to, and they are making shrouds for that. They're already, actually, I was looking on a website today that you can already get that.
They beat me a long time ago. Because before me and my wife were pregnant, I wanted to make a Faraday house coat for pregnant ladies. Where it's literally Faraday cage inside of a piece of cloth. You zip it up, and that's the connection between the two.
But now they've intentionally made us so dependent on electronic devices. You know, it's no mistake that they wanted to make sure that the poor had smartphones. I mean, it's not like you think the government would give a shit whether or not the poor was able to communicate with anybody. They wanted to be able to track everyone. So that was the whole point. The reason they got rid of UHF and VHF TV and made everybody go.
And microphones.
Yeah.
And microphones.
Damn the 600 block.
Damn you.
Oh, they're fixing they're fixing to sell another, and this is, I'm not an RF engineer, but they're fixing to sell another block.
Another band of frequencies.
To my knowledge, maybe you know a little bit more, and I can't think exactly what I read, but there's a carrier frequency that's a way lower frequency that distributes and carries some of these other high frequencies. Yeah. And so that's kind of what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and the carrier frequency is very much akin to what Dr. John Hall was talking about a while ago with the heterodyning. It's the base level.
Right.
It's the base level. Apart from this, we do octaves.
Right, right. That's just octaves. Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Well, as a matter of fact, they've already started. There's a company that has a tower that we talked about last time, just north of you in Austin, that has a ELF ground wave transmitter that actually has gone up that will basically transmit a 6 hertz signal around the globe, right from north of Austin.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's already people.
A lot of people don't know that this stuff exists. People don't know that there is an active nuclear reactor under Austin.
Under Austin?
Under Austin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you have to tell me more about that.
Yeah.
So in back to the back
small,
to the
but it's
the,
how
the
do you think we have a nuclear sciences department?
Back to the phase cancellation. Back to the phase cancellation, you could find that carrier frequency and just spit that out around your home or yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Well, you probably couldn't do that. You know, it had to be something pretty big. But,
that could be some interesting experimentation, though, to see if you could actively
cancel everything that's coming in.
The problem,
if you did that on a grand enough scale to work, then you're also transmitting.
Yeah.
And they're going to
pick that up.
They're going to show up to your house and tell you to shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they can triangulate that stuff rapidly. You just said, I got a ham license.
Right, right.
You know they can triangulate.
Yeah,
even if you curse on a CB
radio
on Channel 9, they can find you like that.
Well, you could somehow make it non-traceable if
you could,
wanted
you
to.
You could. Well, let's not get into such clandestine
things
on
the air. Yeah, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
That's right. And speaking of which, you're actually doing some acting right now. I know you've done some acting in the past.
I would love to shamelessly plug some
projects.
Absolutely.
You know I'm all about the shameless plugs on this show.
For one, we have a trailer out for a film called Targeted that's based on A New Breed. A trailer's been done. We are doing a documentary on targeting. Most of the filming's been done. People are waiting. I am trying to work on that. I got caught up doing a Western TV series called Death and Compromise that's winning a lot of awards in the festival circuit right now. I know we're audible, but not on video. But right now I've got long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
I'm playing this Western thing. I'm playing Outlaw in Death and Compromise. We're actually currently shooting part of it. Another Western called Showdown on the Brazos, written by Bill Foster. All being filmed in Texas, filming that in March. Directing a sitcom called Recreation. It's like Reno 911 about game wardens. It's really
awesome.
Gonna be funny. That's written by Larry Welch, Nick Seidel, and Sam Martinez. Three really great guys. Really funny. We've already started shooting some of that. Robert McDorman from Austin, another good friend of mine, has wrote a cop drama called The Oath that kind of comes from the cop's perspective after a shooting and the way social media turns out against you as a police officer. That's kind of on the rise. And another really good Western called by William Enstone out of Austin as well called Redeemer. I'm playing a sheriff in that. So there's a lot of good projects, but I kind of had to feed myself into this film industry and get to know some of these people and learn that business in order for us to get Targeted done and get Targeted the documentary done.
And
we're just about done on those.
If you don't come on the show with the director of that, I'm going to be hurt.
Which one?
The director of Targeted.
Targeted,
of course.
Yes. That's Mike Muirhead is directing that.
I would love for you to come on and shamelessly plug for like 3 hours.
We had just about everything shot, and then this Cuban embassy thing hit, So we're going to have to go back and kind of add that, because that's a game changer for targeted individuals. And I've been telling people that. I said, that has been like a gift from God.
Yes.
Because what eventually...
It is the manna from heaven.
Eventually, the government is going to have to lift the gag order on those people. It's going to come out that they have continued to be targeted once they're in the United States. And it's the exact same targeting that targeted individuals are going through. And for once, they're going to have to admit that they have this technology just the way the Russians did.
And without, like, your last episode where it's an accidental leak through a FOIA request.
Yeah.
You know, that hit all of two reporting sources before it was picked up by other viral sources 6-7 months later, where it was like, well, wait a minute. This dude who puts out FOIA for everybody in the audience that doesn't know, is Freedom of Information Act. That went through like back in the late 60s.
Well, the problem with the whole targeting thing too is major media sources will never pick it up, because it goes against the grain of what they believe in, which is also social control.
Yes.
You know, all the major media outlets pretty much are controlled by the Democratic Party now. Not to get too political, but they are. And they're kind of all for social control. So, you know, they're going to keep on making light of this and keep finding ways to make it look like it's mental illness as long as they can until the government finally comes out and says, yes, we got this technology. We can read your minds. We can put information in your minds. We can make you hear voices.
And for those of you that think it is coming. For those of you that think it doesn't exist, I want you to Google one simple thing. The first two words are Defense One, which is pretty much the white paper for the Pentagon. Like, if they're working on new technology, it's like the Newsweek for the Pentagon and for the military-industrial complex. If it's coming out in Defense One, that means, like, our military's been playing with it. And there it is. Like, we have this now. Look, we have a new stealth fighter. Defense One will release it. About a year ago, and I think you were on the show with me in Vegas, Rob, when I was like, hey, everybody, do you see the article today that drone pilots can now control up to 3 drones with their mind?
Yeah.
By just simply putting a ring on their head, they can control up to 3 drones. And that's totally from the technology of the new stealth bomber that's coming out, or the new stealth fighter, rather, that actively has a drone swarm built into it for offensive, defensive capability. And you think that if that's not controlled by the pilot while he's flying elsewhere... Okay. But they can absolutely do it. We can control up to 3 drones with nothing more than your brain waves and thoughts.
I can barely do one thing at a time.
And you do 8 things at a time very well all the time, Rob. I see it. But radios work 2 ways. We got 3 audio engineers in this room. Anything transmitting can receive. You know. And,
2-way, yeah.
Yeah. So... if you can send that wave out through that ring, guarantee you your brain can receive a message through that ring.
I'm still speculating on the whole, you know, polarity inverse.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just popped in my head.
We're going to obviously nerd out after you leave.
It was not
because if there's an element, there's always a cure.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we wrap up, because I know you're still in scrubs, I'm still in gig uniform myself. We both came straight from work to record this episode, and I'm so glad while I was here that I got the chance to physically be with you again. It's been so long, we need to make it more regular. But tell everybody, of course, other than dudesandbeer.com/store, where they can go to find the work of Dr. John Hall. Do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
Nothing coming up. I've been mostly doing medical stuff. But Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, and Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control. And there is a Facebook page for Guinea Pigs as well, which if you're in the Friends page is public. So if you're looking to...
Yeah.
You know, kind of get involved with some of the other groups, you can usually find them there as well.
You can very easily find that group. It is attached to the Dudes and Beer group on Facebook. That is one of our upper groups that we recommend. So make sure to go by and check that out. Once again, Guinea Pigs Technology of Control is the name of the Facebook group, the name of the second book by Dr. John Hall. The first is New Breed, Satellite Terrorism. Thank you so much once again for always joining.
One big toast, everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I showed you the other day, anytime you're on, It's not a slow evolution on the month-long chart. It's a freaking skyrocket, man. It is a straight-up 45-degree or larger line that goes up the graph for smooth 30 days. Every time you're on, you get raging.
And for your listeners, this is a cool show to do because it's laid back. It's internet-based. We can cut loose a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really great show to do.
And thank you. Thank you. And yet still be able to cover some deep, hard topics. And, you know, it is one of those... I'm sure I will someday become a targeted individual because of my show. If I'm not already labeled a
We'll figure out a way to phase it out.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that 50 plus out of 71 views being the federal government employees is right up there. I'm not far off the radar. So, Rob, thank you so much for joining us. John Butler, thank you so much. Brandy, thank you for being here in the background. And Dr. John Hall, as always, thank you so much. While you're online checking out the great work of Dr. John Hall, make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com. dudesandbeer.com/knowledge is where you can find all the documents that we were talking about today. There's everything from declassified government programs, scientific studies, rare and odd patents, like all the works of Nikola Tesla. Things like that are on there. Anything that we talk about that is factually based and has patents on this show, those patents are on the website. They exist. They're there. They're linked. Go download them. Look at them. You can also check out Dudes and Beer on the HC Universal Network, hcuniversalnetwork.com. Again, thank you so much, Doctor. It's been great. It's always great having you on. Until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Take care and take care of each other. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.